Hey, Go Church family. My name is Matt, and I'm here with my good friends, Charbel and Ariane.
Hello, everyone. I'm Charbel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ariane.
And we are digging into our second week of our study on
fire,
the fire of God. And I'm really enjoying this discussion. You guys enjoying?
So much fun.
It's amazing. Very thankful that you've joined me on the podcast today. And
thank you.
Thank you for having us. We're actually learning a lot on the podcast as we go.
I hope we're all learning. We're all growing together. And we're very thankful to the Word of God. This is the Go Church podcast. And this really is meant to be a supplement to our Grow Groups. We're a group-centered church. And so this podcast is supplementing our study of the fire of God. And this week we're going to talk about the purifying aspect of fire. We've been studying what the Bible says. And last week we talked about fire for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That fire that we see in the Old Testament comes on each person in the New Testament for a purpose, and that purpose is empowered witnessing. It's for harvest.
Yep.
But speaking of purpose,
our purpose for this month's series. This series challenges the Go Church Beirut family to live on fire for God, to recognize and respond to the fire of God, not as a distant spectacle, but as a present, personal, and purifying power. From the fire above the tabernacle in the Old Testament to the fire within the believer in the New Testament, this study invites each listener to embrace God's holy presence, allow His fire to purify, and live boldly in His Spirit's power. The fire is not optional. It is promised, it is personal, and it is for all.
Praise God.
As you were saying, this fire that was over the tabernacle, that was external, is now personal. So now you're not going to be looking at it, but it's going to be looking at you. It was outside, but now it is inside. And it's up to you if you want to keep that fire burning, if you want to keep kindling that fire, if you want to keep adding wood to that fire, or if you want to say, you know what, it's a bit hot in here. I want to get cool. I want to chill. And that's very important, because as the message that we were discussing last month about unity and about belonging to the body, sometimes we do not know how much indirectly we might affect our brothers and sisters in the body if we cool that fire down.
Yeah.
It's contagious both ways.
Mm-hmm.
It can spread positively. It can cool down and cool down other members with it unknowingly, or maybe without even noticing, because as members of the body, or as our body members, they indirectly influence one another. And anything that happens to any of those members automatically affects the whole body without the member being aware of it. So having that fire inside of us right now, yes, true, it's not visible to the eye, but it's visible to the spirit. It's visible to the body. It is easily felt when that fire changes.
Yeah.
It's easily felt.
That's well said. And of course, that makes me think of Jesus' statement to the church at Laodicea in Revelation. He said, I would that you were cold or hot, because you're lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth. In any translation, spew you out of my mouth is bad.
Yes.
You know, any language, any translation, we don't want that. And the Bible says that in Hebrews, actually it says, my soul, God saying, I will have no pleasure in the one who draws back.
Mm.
Amen.
But Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, when you were reading the purpose about being on fire, living on fire for God, it always makes me think of this statement from the prophet Jeremiah. And we won't take time to look at it, but he said, if I would keep my mouth closed.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were rejecting his message.
Yep. I cannot.
People were mocking him. They were saying, "Ah, we don't want to hear what you have to say."
Yep.
He said, "If I keep my mouth closed, it's like fire shut up in my bones."
He's hearing that sound inside of him saying, yes. "Beep. Let it out. Let it out.
If you can hear the beeping, we're getting some important deliveries. And I don't know what these deliveries are, but I'm sure they're important. Anyway, the fire that burns in us, what the point that you're making, it affects more than us. It affects those in the body mm-hmm. that we are joined to.
Yes.
That's right.
And this week... you know, we're talking about what John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3. Jesus is coming and he will baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. And if you don't know this or not, we're actually making this not just a single month study. We're going to do this over 2 months about the work and role of the Holy Spirit. And kind of just introducing this subject of the fire of God to ignite our passion
mm-hmm.
and our discussions in our grow groups.
Uh-huh.
But because we want to make this practical, we want to kind of turn this back to the purifying aspect of fire. There's much that we can see in Scripture about how fire purifies. And in fact, let's look at Malachi. Malachi chapter 3.
Malachi 3.
Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. Ariane, will you read that for us?
But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. And he will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness.
So there's, again, this is a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word about the ministry of Jesus. In one sense, you could say that this is what John the Baptist also prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
The work of Jesus is relating to fire, the fire of God, and that this work of Jesus in the fire of God is for a purpose, and that purpose is the harvest. It's the end of the age. And so... So
how does purification relate to the harvest?
Well, think about this picture here that we have. The Holy Spirit uses the picture of refining. Now, my wedding ring is made from silicone, so I don't have a gold ring. But if you think about gold jewelry... Gold starts inside of a rock.
Mm-hmm.
It's a metal. It's precious because it's rare, but it is also precious because in its rarity, it must be refined. And so in order for gold to arrive in the place where you want to give it to a girl, you have to get it through a process of unearthing, then cleaning, then refining. And the refining process is done with fire.
Hmm.
Because you can clean on the outside with a toothbrush or a wire brush. You can clean some other pieces of stone and sand and mud off. But if you want to take impurity mm-hmm. out from inside, then you have to touch it with fire. And so the refining process or the purification process deals with what is perhaps not apparent from the outside. So on the outside, I can brush my teeth, I can comb my hair. But what about what's on the inside? Mm-hmm. And in really our grow group discussions, I want to talk about the purification process where the fire of God leaves nothing from the world. Think about that piece of gold. It started life in the darkness, under a rock, in mud. And someone found it and saw value there and applied effort and energy and drew it out. And
that's good.
That's a picture of the work the church should do in our lives, mm-hmm. but it's really a picture of what the heart of Jesus is, where he sees value in us, where everyone else would just see old dirty rocks. There's a gem museum here in Beirut at
the Meme Museum.
If you've never been to the Meme Museum, I highly recommend it. You guys have been there, right?
Yeah, we've been there.
When you go through that, I'm always like consumed to the point of tears with the imagery there, because people that don't know what they're looking for would just step over those rocks.
Mm-hmm.
But people who knew what's inside, there's all kinds of precious stones and crystals and things on minerals on display. People that knew what to look for, they could take those rocks and put them through a process of refinement and purification until it becomes art, beauty, mm-hmm. that is breathtaking. And that is God's heart for me and you,
mm-hmm.
that we would be purified, and in that purification we represent him.
Amen.
An example of this, you can look back in the Old Testament, you can see this picture when the Queen of Sheba, which was the kingdom of Ethiopia at the time, came and visited King Solomon. And her kingdom was known, because of its trade routes, as being opulently wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that when she saw everything in Solomon's house, in the palace of Solomon, in the way he came in and went out, and the way they did everything, it was so refined, it said that it took her breath away. And the desire for me as a pastor is that when the world sees you, they don't see you, they see the refined treasure of heaven that has been purified by the fire of God to the place where it takes the world's breath away. There aren't words to describe it. There's only the desire for it to happen to me.
Well, when we speak of that, we all, I think, remember when we were first born again, when we received that grace. And I don't think any of us would deny the fact that people around them have noticed a change.
Yeah.
Big or small, but they were noticed, and people saw that there was a change. And that initial change is good. And some people sometimes, I think, feel that that purifying fire needs to just go deep to the inner chambers of the heart, like the most invisible thing that we cannot see, and then it has to purify. But in fact, it's an inward and an outward thing, because for people to see Jesus in us, they need to see something visible and not something invisible. And that fire which purifies, it does truly purify our inner being. It does washing our mind, renewal of our ideas and of our mind, but it has eventually to be visible on the outside. So the character change, the attitude change, the behavior change, the way you approach people change, the way you deal with things and the way you deal with issues and problems and matters. These are, yes, we call them sometimes the fruits, but yes, they have to be visible. It's not, this is not quantum mechanics and a nuclear reactor that's hidden under somewhere that no one knows about. No. This is something that is happening on the inside as much as it is happening on the outside.
So before Jesus ascended, he was telling his disciples to wait until they were clothed with power from on high, and then they could go and be witnesses. Mm-hmm. So one of the purposes of the fire is to refine us, that is to change our character, to make it more Christ-like. And so is that a way we can become also witnesses, is when people see the change and they see the godly character because of the purification that happens on the inside. That's also a way to be a witness.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the word fruit, which Jesus talks a lot about. Where does fruit appear? On the end of the branch. Why does fruit appear? Because the branch and the vine are one, mm-hmm. and drawing nutrients
connected
from places that we don't immediately see. So there's an old song that goes like this: I have something on the inside, and it is working on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a change in my life. Some of the greatest joys for me, I'm going to start crying because I'm thinking about this. I love that I have multiple of these stories where people have pulled me aside and they said, I've known this person all my life, or I've known this person for years, and they're changed. I want what's happened to them.
You know,
that's the work that only the refining fire of Jesus can do.
Yeah.
When you mentioned the vine, and that, yes, we are connected to the vine and the fruits should appear on us, but we are connected to the vine and that vine draws it nutrients from the ground, from a source we do not know. Once I was questioning this and I was like, how much nutrients does soil have? Like, you know, you plant a harvest after a harvest after a harvest, and like there's always nourishment in this soil. And then I asked a specialist, a farmer, I said, where does the soil get all those nutrients from? And you know what his answer was? From the sun.
Yeah.
From the light. So the light, again and again, is the source of everything that we need. And if plants need the light for that soil to give them nutrients, we definitely need
more
light, yeah. His light, to give us those nutrients so we can produce more fruit because we're connected to the vine.
There's a picture in scripture I want us to see. And this is a very simple illustration, but Isaiah chapter 6. Let's look at this. Isaiah chapter 6.
Yep.
This is known as Isaiah's vision.
Which verse?
Well, if you start, we won't read the whole thing, but if you start in verse 1, it says that this happened to Isaiah at a particular time.
Uh-huh.
He saw into the realm of God. He mm-hmm. saw into the realm of glory. But in verse 6, it says that an angel came, and Isaiah sees him take a coal mm-hmm. of fire from off the altar.
Yeah.
And then he used it to touch the tongue of Isaiah. This is in Isaiah 6. Do you know what is in Isaiah 9? Isaiah 9 is the prophecy of that one whose name will be Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah as a prophet speaks more and in more detail about the coming Messiah than any of the prophets. And all of those occurred after he had an encounter with the fire.
With fire. Wow.
The work, or the, let me say, the product of the refining fire of the Holy Spirit is a vision of Jesus in our life and the word of Jesus in our mouth. If I want to be an empowered witness for Christ, and I do, then that really needs to start with his fire refining me.
Yes.
Me being connected to that vine, and me not saying what I think, what I figured out, but being touched with that fire in my tongue, I am what? I'm witnessing for him, with him.
Hmm. That's excellent.
To kind of ground this and make it practical for us, because, I mean, you might say, well, Isaiah is in the Old Testament. Let's look at Romans chapter 12.
Romans 12.
Romans 12. Will you read verse 1 for me?
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship.
Now, think for just a minute. In the Old Testament, which is a type and shadow of things to come, God gave Moses very specific instructions that people were to bring a sacrifice to the temple, and that that sacrifice was then to be burnt on the altar with fire. A fire that could never go out. What did that fire do to the sacrifice?
It consumed it.
The fire consumes the sacrifice. But in consuming the sacrifice, the fire revealed the offering.
That's good.
Paul takes that Old Testament practice and makes it a New Testament principle for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an Old Testament sacrifice lasts as long as it takes for the knife and the flame. But he says here, we are to be a
living
sacrifice. A living sacrifice consumed by the fire of God and revealed by the fire of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the fire of God then consumes what I offer and reveals what I offer. We talked in the beginning of the year about the judgment seat. We said that we all have an appointment to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And remember from our study, that's not a negative thing. That's a time for us to receive reward. But it says that the quality of our work will be tried by
fire.
Or one translation says, revealed by fire. Today, for me and you, we need to bring ourselves to the altar, our life, our intentions, our priorities. And we tie ourselves to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
It's not done to me. I do this for him.
Mm-hmm.
Paul calls it my spiritual worship. Worship is not what happens on a Sunday when we're all singing together. Worship happens when I give to Him.
Mm-hmm.
When I sacrifice me. You know, one of the hardest things that I have found, starting with myself, for people to give up is the way I think. Because if you think, you know, consider this, most people think they're right about most things.
Yes.
And I remember one of the, I think it was the second time I was in Lebanon. I was with a family, and there was a young boy, maybe, I think he was 16. He just turned 16, and he gave his life to Jesus. Just simply means that he practiced what Romans 10, 9, and 10 said. He believed with his heart that God gave Jesus as the Savior and raised Jesus up from the dead, and he confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, and according to the Bible, he was born again. I was in the room when it happened. 2 days later, we were in a small gathering, maybe 8-10 people, all young people, doing a Bible study. I gave the lesson. At the end of the lesson, this young man came up to me. He had known Jesus for 2 days. He said, "I understand why it's so important to be around other believers, other Christians."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, if I'm by myself, I'll just think everything I'm doing is fine, everything I'm doing is right, everything I'm doing is okay." He said, "But if I'm around other people and I hear what the Bible says, I recognize there are things I have to change." I thought, behold the wisdom from this young man. How can we transfer this wisdom to others? The call for spiritual worship for us is to lay ourselves on the altar and let the refining fire of God find those impurities, bring them to the surface, and be consumed. And in that being consumed, my offering, spiritual worship is revealed.
Your story just reminded me of something which we see in the Old Testament. We see it with Abraham, we see it with Isaac, we see it with Jacob, but especially we see it in the beginning with Abraham. Like Abraham, wherever he went and he just wanted to stay, he would erect a tent, okay, but he would build an altar. And many, many times in our lives, we build a tent, but we just erect an altar, where a tent is just temporary, but an altar for him was the point of focus, not his tent. It was the thing that is immovable, that wherever he erected an altar, maybe until today, archaeologists are finding altars that were built by Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, and they were never moved from their place. So that altar itself, that's when someone in the Bible says that the altar is what sanctifies the sacrifice, not the other way around. So that altar was core. That altar is where the fire was burnt. And every time he built an altar, he burnt a sacrifice.
Yeah, that's good.
He offered something to God. And we need to always remember that we are the temple. The altar is within. The fire has to stay on. It cannot be turned off. We are not tents anymore. We are altars. And when we have, in this process of born again, sanctification, getting to know our identity in Christ, knowing who we are, we have always to look inward more than when we look outward, because we need to check on that fire. We need to go back to that altar. Is the fire still on or not? If not, why? And we should, as you said, we should always stay in check with other believers, because that's the only way we know.
That's really good. That's really good. I love that. Building an altar keeping the fire.
Amen to that.
Praise God. Well, there's a lot we could continue here, but I want this discussion to spill out, or maybe catch fire in our grow groups, and really consider, going back to our key scripture about chaff in our life, those things that are more in the way than in aid to seeing God's plan for our life come to pass, and how the fire of God will touch those things and purify us so that we are an acceptable offering to God. If you made it this far in your day and no one else has told you, we want you to know that we love you.
We're praying for you,
and we look forward to seeing you next week. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.